yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Riverside.
Come on. Come
yo,
on.
Yo, what's up? What's up?
Yeah.
My name is Superfan Mark. This is CineScare. We're going out like a deer running through the forest, getting hit by trees or cars. I ain't a rapper.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
That's how I get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
This is
CineScare. Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan. He was asking for more energy, and so we're giving him energy.
Is
the super
we're doing
fan.
It live.
Do we're it. Doing it live. Mr. Mark Biscotti.
Hi, everybody. Happy to be here. Happy to do another top 10.
The more he talks, I start wondering what's going to happen. What's going to happen? And with us, as always, as well, is Catherine Horan.
Hello. Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
That's right. 2026.
Yeah, Joe, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we are in a brand new year, 2026.
I was not aware, but now that all makes a whole lot of sense, that party I went to.
Yeah.
How was it?
That champagne that I drank.
Was it a good party?
I don't remember much of it, but the champagne was really good.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
What kind of champagne was it? Was it Voob?
It was free champagne. So,
oh shit! Okay,
that's the best kind.
Yeah.
Well, this is our very special yearly annual episode where we do our top 10 films of the year, and this year we've got a couple extra things we're going to do along with it. So we're going to skip right to our first thing, and that Joe had this wonderful idea. Where we would, or actually, no, this is something else. The first thing we're going to do is we're actually.
Joe's idea was terrible. We're going to skip.
No,
we're going to move
Joe
on
had
to
a good
Matt's
idea, but we're doing it after the top 10. So,
did you watch the video, Matt?
I did. I made the video, for God's sake. Mark had a really hard time knowing exactly what he was supposed to do this week. So
I really did.
If you haven't had a chance to go on the CineScare fan page, it's worth checking out the video I made where I had some what are these things called?
The Funko Pops.
Funko Pops.
Yeah, Funko Pops. Explain to Mark the rules of, or not the rules, but just what he's supposed to do this week because we have three different major things we're doing. And so Mark was very confused. So I hope it ironed it out for you, Mark.
It did. I did have to watch it like four times. So to make sure.
Excellent.
I really did.
That's the beauty of these videos is that you can always watch it as many times as you want. Yes.
Which is easier than us explaining it over and over and over again each week. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. And I have to say, Matt, great video. And your Jack Nicholson impersonation.
Yeah. Impression.
Yes. Thank you. it was really good.
Can you handle that, Mark? So first off, Joe's idea was that, one of the things we talked about was that we don't often talk about the picks we had over the course of the year. So Joe was like, what if we came up with, I don't have a Joe impression, but I would try.
what if we came up with the idea of maybe, you know, picking our favorite five picks that we did over the year and our worst five picks.
So that's what we did. We came up with our favorites of our own picks. That's all of the themes that we had over the course of the year, the movies that we watched for those. And this was kind of hard because, first of all, there weren't that many I really loved this year, I feel like. There were a lot of bad ones that were enjoyable to watch because they were so bad. So I had a tough time, like, picking movies this year. So I don't know. Joe, you want to start us off with this? What do you want to do? Start with our worst or our best?
No. Your top five favorites. Let's start off with a positive note. Yeah. So
okay.
Basically, I went back through all of the episodes from 2025, and I made a running list of 78 different films. Now, granted, some of those were shorts, but these were all the assignments that we were given for the themes of the episodes throughout the year. And we never really before retroactively looked back and gave our opinion on it. So this is our opportunity to do that. So
yeah. Good.
Am I just reading off my top five?
Yeah, just read them off, I guess. Around? Yeah.
Okay. So the benefit of doing this is some of these films you may have seen before. Some of them you may have not. Some of them may be favorites of yours that we just coincidentally watched. So I will go through my number five pick, which is like a giant softball. But it was Shaun of the Dead from episode 113 when we were doing British horror, which was Matt's pick. This was a new favorite for me because I hadn't seen this before, but my number four was Oculus
from
Inanimate Object Horror, which was spectacular. Another one that I had seen, but I was glad I got to rewatch it, was The Ritual from 2017. Again, British horror.
Yeah,
it was a big episode for me. And then two more that I had never seen before, but my number two was The Neon Demon from the art horror. That was my own pick. I had never seen that before, but I thought it was spectacular.
Yeah.
Not to pat myself on the back, but my number one favorite pick movie of the year was from 2024 Uzumaki. Mm. When we were doing The Shape of Horror.
Yeah.
I had seen the artwork for that for years or a year. But had never actually watched it. I'm so glad I did. It was such a mesmerizing piece of artwork and very glad that that whole episode came up and really liked it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Who's next?
Yeah. Those are great. Those are great. And I don't think any of them are on mine. So that's good. Yeah. It's a couple of them. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Catherine.
All right. So yeah, my favorite number five on my favorites from this year was Mandy, which is one I had seen before. I don't know. I just love that movie. I don't know why.
I love that.
It's great.
So out there.
It's a good family film. Yeah.
I like, you know, I like that it's so out there. Number four was Dead Talent Society, which is a movie Matt had us watch. And it was part of the movies to make Mark watch before the end of the year.
That's right.
That may make a comeback on one of our lists a little later on in this episode. Number three was House on Haunted Hill, just from the Vincent Price episode.
Yes.
That's another, just a classic. You know, you can't go wrong with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two I had was 10 Cloverfield Lane. It's a movie I'd seen before, but I really like that one. Like, John Goodman is just so good. And then number one I put on was The Innocents, which was from my Norwegian horror episode. Yep. It was one I had never seen before. And just, I just found that one just fascinating.
So great. Yeah. Mark.
Yeah. So
let's see if he understood the assignment.
Didn't do it right.
I did do it right, guys.
We're all waiting with bated breath. All right.
Yeah. So the top five picks of this year. Number five is The Role of Jenny Penn for Miss DeMarc. Really, really enjoyed that. Number four, one of Catherine's picks. It was Theater of Blood. I just love that film. I love that Vincent Price film, and I'll be watching that again. It was just a lot of fun, and it was really fun watching Vincent Price just ham it up, and it was really fun to watch. It's my favorite Vincent Price film now. Number three, Blue Velvet. Listen to that episode. Wish it was on it. It's great, great, great movie. Matt told me to watch it, and I watched it, and I bought it immediately, and I think I've watched it like 8 times since Matt introduced me to that film. So yeah, Blue Velvet. Number two, a Joe's pick, Circle from the Shape of Horror episode. Circle. I loved that film, and I loved when you guys were talking about it. I wish I was talking about it. with you guys on that one. I just like the whole premise of just all these people just trying to get other people killed, and like how I should survive and you should be dead. And I wouldn't have lasted. I would have been probably one of the first people that I would have been picked. I know.
We've always said that. Yeah.
Yes. And number one, same as Catherine, Dead Talent Society from Mr. Mark. I love that film. It's a movie that made me cry or misty eye. And I thought it was just a hell of a fun time and very original. And it's, I wonder if that's going to be in my top 10. So those are my top fives. What about you, Matt?
I could have filled this whole thing up with movies I'd seen before. So I just decided I'm just going to go with movies that were new to me, that I really liked. And so Theater of Blood was my number five. Again, that was another one I really enjoyed quite a bit. And it's such a quirky, weird movie. Slumber Party Massacre 2, I think, was one of Mark's picks, if I'm not mistaken. I had a blast with that movie. I thought it was I love the guy with the guitar.
Oh, that was the sequels episode, yeah.
Yeah, the sequels.
Mark drops the deuce.
Let's Scare Jessica to Death, I liked. I don't remember whose pick that one was. And then Hound of the Baskervilles was one I'd never seen before. Really loved that. Was the Hammer, Hound of the Baskervilles. And then I think this one was Joe's pick when we had that woman on. I can't remember her name now. Melancholia was my favorite. Melancholia was probably my favorite one of the year. And it still sticks with me. I still think about that ending and just the whole concept of that planet possibly crashing into Earth. It really stuck with me. I still think about that every now and then. And now, least favorites. Joe.
Well, hang on. Is this going to be just bashing my picks?
No.
Maybe.
No, is that what it is? Inspiration. No.
Yes, you really inspired us quite a bit.
Jesus.
Let's Scare Jessica to Death, Matt, was actually your pick. That was the Monster Rally episode 123.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, so my number five in the movies that I hated the most for the picks, Fat Man from 2020.
Yeah, here we go.
That's my number five too, Joe.
Okay. Hey, it's not number one though, so that's good.
I had a number six, but I'll skip it. My number four, this is my own doing, so it's not all about you, Mark.
Thanks.
Was Funhouse Massacre. That was abysmal.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that was from that Tubi Massacre episode.
That was almost on my list too. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be shocked if this isn't on anybody else's list. My number three is The Mangler.
Oh God, that was close too.
Not on mine.
My number two is Brain Scan from the video game horror episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because I can't stand that kid.
I was juggling several.
Yeah. And then, of course, my number one least favorite movie that I had to watch this year, of course, Troll 2.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Wait a minute. Troll 2?
My number six. Yeah.
Which one was that? Oh.
Troll
2
is just abysmal. Yeah,
that's right.
The one that had no trolls in it. Yeah. By the way, my number six was Poltergeist 2.
Jesus. Wait a minute. Christ.
What was your number five, Joe?
Fat Man.
Oh, yeah.
So were all either Mark's picks or my picks. So
yeah.
Hey, we like to think out the box, Joe. We take big swings.
Yeah.
Catherine.
Yeah.
All right. My number five worst movie was Circle. Sorry, Mark.
Jeez. What the fuck?
It was an interesting idea, but I just felt like it went nowhere.
Hey, it takes different strokes to move the world.
Yeah.
Number four, I put for Fat Man. Again, sorry, Mark.
He had like two picks this year, and it's on half of the
right? I know.
Number three, I had Mountaintop Motel Massacre. Also from that Tubi Massacre. Then next up was Cloverfield Paradox, which just...
Really?
Yeah, I can't. It's just, wow. I don't, I find it so boring. And then number one for me was Lawnmower Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Forgot about that. Yeah, yeah. That's a bad one.
Which is pretty awful.
Yeah.
My number five was Fat Man. Number four was Evil Dead Trap.
Yeah.
That was pretty brutal. Number three was Circle.
What the? It's not that bad of a movie.
That's always your defense. I hated that thing. Number two was Poltergeist 2. And that was really the, in fact, I broke my own rule. It was the only movie I'd seen before that I put on this list because I was like, I can't have this list without saying Poltergeist 2 is the second worst one. And then, yeah, number one was Mountaintop Motel Massacre, which I hate it. I almost hate putting it there because it was so bad. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, same with Evil Dead Trap as well. I mean, they were both that. And very close came very close to Massacre at Central High as well. If you remember that one about the Nazi teenagers or whatever. But that one had something to it that you can't put your finger on, so I didn't put it in there. But all of these except for maybe, I mean, Mountaintop Motel Massacre, Evil Dead Trap, well, no, Fat Man. Those two anyway were a lot of fun to watch. The others I were not fun to watch, so. Mark. All right, well.
What about me?
Oh, yeah.
Mark's got to go.
Yeah, Mark.
Did I skip you?
You skipped me.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm waiting with bated breath for Mark's list.
So
I'm like excited about the next thing we're going to do. Sorry. Go ahead.
My top five worst picks this year. Number five is Slumber Party Massacre 2. It's my pick, and I fucking hated that movie. I didn't like anything about it. I thought it was dumb.
I agree. It is terrible, but it's like so bad. It's kind of fun.
Right.
Yeah. It's, I loved it.
That again,
but you are very justified in putting that on that list.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't argue.
No.
Number four was Joe's pick, End of Days. Wasn't a fan of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Number three, Shutter Island. What?
Wow.
Why was that even allowed on the show? It's not a horror movie.
If
you allow Shutter Island on the show, I should get erotic thrillers.
What are you talking about?
I think if Shutter Island with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah. I mean,
Shutter Island? Was it Shutter Island or Shutter?
Shutter.
It's Shutter Island. Yeah.
Yeah. With Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. What about it?
Yeah, it's technically tagged as psychological thriller, suspense mystery, drama mystery, and thriller. There is no horror in it technically. But
So this year we're gonna be doing an erotic thriller episode, I promise.
No, you already got your non horror in, and that was Fat Man. Sorry, you already spent it. You spent it.
I did not spend it, Matt. I did not spend it.
Oh, Fat Man is like $3.
Oh, that was unreliable narrator. Anyway, Mark, the rest of your list.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Number two is Cloverfield Paradox. I am total in agreement with Catherine. I had it at number two. That movie is just an absolute bore, and it's just a waste of time. I don't even know why that was even made. And number one, it's my pick in this Fat Man. That's just an embarrassment. bitch. I mean, when I've done wrong, I'll say I've done wrong. So yeah, Fat Man was my number one. Just watching Fat Man, I'm just going, these guys are gonna fucking kill me.
All right. Well, we do have a new segment this week we want to introduce in addition to our other lists. And since it's our 5-year anniversary, we kind of need to do a best of for this segment, too. And the new segment is this little something. Joe came up with a great little theme song for this. So give it a listen.
Mark made a boner.
So this segment is called Mark's Boners. And so this segment every week we're going to, or, you know, as often as possible, we will highlight something Mark did that was wrong on the show that maybe we missed. There's a lot of times I'll be editing or listening to the episode or whatever, and I'll realize we didn't catch that when it happened. And so we might feel the need to highlight it again just to make sure. So what I thought, and Joe and I put our brains together on this, we thought, let's think back of the 5 years or 4 years or whatever that we've had Mark on the show. And let's come up with our top five Mark boners. All right. Oh, so, no. Joe, are you ready for number five?
Number five.
What? Jeepers Creepers, the creeper rides his how many years?
Oh, God. Can you repeat the question for me?
Yeah. In Jeepers Creepers, the creeper rises ovary.
Yeah.
That's a really good one right there. That was number five.
I just broke out in a sweat. Five.
What the hell's coming?
I just broke out in a sweat.
So that was ovary. And of course, you hear the voice of a friend of the show, Brian, in there as well. Yeah. God bless him. He's like, I just love the part where he goes, could you repeat the question? All right. And then number four.
It was like lightning in a box.
Lightning in a box. And it's supposed to be lightning in a bottle. And that bottle. Maybe that.
Yeah. That yeah, shit. So,
number three. This is a little thing that's fairly recent.
IMBD. IMBD. That's what I said. It's the IMBD.
Yeah, there we go. IMBD. Number two, this is a really good one.
Number two, who killed Bates Motel manager Toomey as a
I should probably set this one up a little bit. This is part of a horror trivia on our Psycho episode, and I'm asking Mark a question about a character. So I'll go back again. Here we go.
Number two. Who killed Bates Motel manager Toomey as a and
Mark,
as well
Mark,
as
Mark, 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 Mark,
Mark, go ahead.
Did he? Oh, God. At the end, Mrs.
I need a name.
Oh, God. Pussy. Pussy?
Pussy?
Oh. Mrs. Pussy?
Nope.
God damn.
Pussy?
Pussy.
I was thinking of Spool. I couldn't think of Spool.
Get the Sopranos again?
Yeah, don't send him to Joanne's to buy a spool of bread. The ladies there are going to be a little shocked.
Can I have a pussy of thread?
Oh, my God.
Can I have your spool? Can I have your biggest pussy?
Security.
So that's a good one. And then, of course, the number one. How could it be anything other than this little moment when we were trying to get through the directions for how to conduct the King of the Hill game King draft that Mark came up with. And of course, friend
Our
of the show, Brian was
episode yet.
Yeah, it was quite. This is a classic moment on the show.
Yeah.
OK, I have a number in my head.
Matt, right. Go ahead.
Three.
You are correct.
That's fucking bullshit. See? I know. Because you're fucking Brian's favorite. I knew he's going to fucking do that.
Oh, Jesus. That's not God. True. Now he's calling you a liar, Brian.
Literally had a 33 in the third chance to get it right. And Joe, I'm thinking of a number between one and two.
No, 1, 2, 3, fucker! You got one shot.
Why would there be three numbers? Why would there be three numbers? We already know Matt's going first. Well, it's now between you and me.
Well, if you miss it and if I miss it, then you can pick it and then you have the second, but at least it makes it fair.
Joe's explanation here is great.
This is fair.
But Mark,
it's not what fair.
What if his number is three and I pick two and I'm wrong and then you pick one and you're wrong? Does that mean nobody goes next?
Oh, God, I'm crying.
Oh, yeah.
Come on,
right.
McFly.
Think. All right, start off.
Okay. Jesus. I have a number in my head.
Oh, sorry. So, that was a little segment of our show that we're going to be starting up called Mark's Boners. And let's just hear Joe's theme again, just one more time.
Oh, my God.
Mark made a boner.
Jesus.
So excellent. That's our new theme. So
I have a heart attack.
I love reliving those things. The one through three thing is, oh my God. That was one of the hardest I've laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably the hardest I've ever laughed on this show.
I think it's the hardest I've ever laughed ever.
Maybe. Could be.
That was,
yeah. I was crying. Okay.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi.
Except for what?
There was an episode not too long ago. Mark made me laugh so hard I almost threw up.
Oh, that's right. Oh, the finger. The finger. That was one of the ones you sent to, but...
Oh, no, it was House of Wax.
Was it House of Wax where he had
Catherine's pick was... Catherine wasn't here. Her pick that was called in for her was for House of Wax, and I made the comment... Is it WAX or WHACKS? And
oh,
started laughing hysterically. And I almost threw up. It was so funny.
Yeah.
He's like, put me on mute.
We also died laughing when I know you were like your head was, it looked like your head was going to explode from laughter when he did his trivia and his finger was going around the thing. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well,
yeah. Press your luck. That's what it was.
Yeah. Press your luck. That's right. Yeah. That brings us to our big event this week. And that is, of course, the top 10 horror movies, each of our top 10 horror movies of the year 2025. And I got to say, this was a tough year to do it, not because there were so many really, really good movies, but because there were so many pretty good movies that were all sort of in the same range that... Like I there's still several I could put in there, but none that I was like completely in love with. So I kind of just went with movies I had a fun time with more than anything else. And then of course, as always, for Catherine who is new to this segment, what we do is, oh God, what do, Joe? We each
start with number 10.
Yeah, start with number 10. Joe will start us off. If the movie he has at number 10 is one that one of us has higher, then we will say I have it higher and we will skip then. And we will only talk about it when we get to whoever had it highest. And then Catherine will go, Mark will go, and then me. All right.
Joe doesn't look happy that he's going first.
What, you don't want to go first, Joe?
No, I'm totally fine with going first.
Okay.
I'm thinking about something else that I wanted to say before we start.
Oh, so what?
Matt, if you recall, a year ago, I said that I was tired of you giving me crap about always using IMDb and not using Letterboxd.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to go all of 2026 or 2025 using Letterboxd.
Yeah.
And I did that. However, I want to point out a major flaw. And I want to say it over the airwaves so that the people from Letterboxd that I'm sure are listening to this episode will take note. They need to add TV shows into their database because I can't make a complete list on Letterboxd since we're allowing TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, I had to revert back to IMBD.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. They only do if it's a one season show set for, you know, and like planned for one season, then they will have it. But if it's multiple seasons, they don't. Yeah.
I don't think you need to make excuses for him, Matt. This is their fault.
No, that was not an excuse, just an explanation. So if you ever do find a series that is one season that they're not planning on anything else, you could find it on there. But
okay,
it's so are we doing? I just what
are we doing? Drum rolls?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
of course.
I think that's all about you.
Oh, all right. So wait. One more thing. I just wanted to say great job to Catherine on her on that podcast that she was on.
Oh yeah.
Terror Train.
Yeah.
Or great Real job. Beans is the name of the podcast. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Just giving me a shout out.
Actually, I got interviewed by a guy for it's more of a radio show, but it's going to be on YouTube too. He's from the Quad Cities. Dave Detlef. I don't know if you know him, Joe. He went to Ambrose, apparently knew us. I didn't really know him before, but I've talked to him in the years since. But anyway, I'm not sure when that's coming out, so I'll tell you next time.
Okay.
What are you talking about? Talking about horror films? Or
Talking about my books, talking about horror. We talked about the podcast and all of that. So everything. So
cool.
Okay, Joe, with starting off with our number 10.
It Welcome to Derry.
Oh, go ahead.
Anyone
else? Higher.
No.
Okay. Mark's got it higher.
Mark has it higher. Okay.
I have it higher.
Catherine.
My number 10 was Good Boy.
Higher.
I have it higher. Okay. All right, Mark.
Clown in a Cornfield.
Oh, I don't have it.
I love that that made your top 10.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's all you.
It's not on anyone's top 10? Wow.
No.
It's a lot of fun.
Look, Clown in a Cornfield is basically a Geico commercial that made into a full feature film. You know, like that Geico commercial with all the teenagers running away from the Texas or the chainsaw, you know, guy. And it's, we got to run in the field or, you know, forget the car, you know, let's hide in, you know, the shed with all the weapons and, you know, garden tools and all that. And the guy's just like staring at them like they're crazy. And they literally made a movie just like from that premise. And it's Clown in a Cornfield. And I thought it was really, really, really good. I thought it was very meta. They knew, like, you know, there was a lot of horror tropes in it. I loved that there wasn't just one clown, and it was more of, I don't want to ruin it. It's a, but it 2025 film, but there's more clowns than just one. It wasn't supernatural. Kills were great. They're funny kills. I just had a blast watching this film.
It's fun.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's a good old fashioned fun horror slasher film.
Yeah, 100%.
Popcorn slasher movie. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all right. That's my number 10.
That's your number 10. All right. So now we're on to Matthew. Number 9. So,
no,
Joe.
No, Matthew.
What? Oh, shit. Matt, why am I skipping myself? Duh.
I don't know.
I'm also skipping the drum roll.
Yep. Matt's boner.
No, I was just about to do the drum roll.
It's Matt's boner.
All right, so my number 10 Influencers.
Not on my list.
Not on my list.
Yeah, that was I just watched it last week. I had a blast with it. I had several movies in there. One that I really, you know, was bouncing back and forth with, but I just, there's just a movie in there that it probably is on one of your lists that I just didn't have a fun time with. So I was like, you know what? I'm not picking that one. I'm going with Influencers. Usually at number 10, I do something that's a little off the beaten path. And not that, but it's not one that most people probably would think of for their top 10. But I thought it was great. I thought it was better than the first one. I thought it leaned into the campiness and was just a lot of fun. So have you guys seen it yet? Or
No.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten a chance to yet.
Oh yeah. I enjoyed it. I liked the first one a lot, but I thought this one was a little campier and a little more fun. So all right. So now going on to number 9. Joe.
28 years later.
I have that
higher.
It's not on my list.
To speak.
Poor Joe. All right, Catherine.
Dead Talent Society.
Higher.
All right, Mark.
Bring Her Back.
Higher.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
And then my number 9, I'm sure this is going to be on Mark's. This is probably going to be on Mark's list. The Black Phone 2.
Oh, you gotta be shitting me.
No, this was fantastic. I don't know what you're talking God. About. I thought this was
what way are you better talking than, about?
I thought this was way better than the first one. I loved the cinematography. I loved everything about this movie. I thought it was a blast, an absolute blast of a film. I loved the dream sequences were shot so well. I was like, oh, it looked like old film. I absolutely thought it was fantastic. I thought it was a great way to bring back this character in sort of a dream sort of scenario.
Freddy Krueger.
I thought that was fantastic. It was a great idea to do it that way. No, I had a blast with this. I thought the whole sequence towards the end on the ice was terrific. But I loved the look of it. And it had kind of an it had the 80s look, kind of whatever 70s 80s look, but without like being overly sentimental about it. And I just thought it was really well done, and I was shocked by it. I really was. I was like, okay, I wish I'd seen this early. I wish I'd seen it in the theater. So yeah, you know, it's not most years influencers in the Black Phone 2 probably would be more in top 15 ish range for me or whatever. But this year, I really enjoyed it a lot. So,
well, I'm not disagreeing that it wasn't beautifully shot, but Joe, you haven't seen it obviously yet.
No, I did. And it's in my top 20. It's just not my top 10. I actually ended up buying it. I really kind of liked it.
Wow. Man,
I thought it was great. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So now we're on number 8, right? Okay. Yes. I'm keeping track of this year because there's 4 of us. It's last year we had Joe and me doing it. It was easy to keep track of it, but now I'm Xing everything. All right. Joe, your number 8.
I have the sneaking suspicion I'm actually going to get to talk about this one. My number 8 is Him.
Not on my list.
All right. Yay. I really like this, obviously, or else it wouldn't be my number 8. But I like the concept quite a bit. There's never really any sports horror films. So I thought this was kind of groundbreaking. I can't really think of anything else. There's so much blood and gore in this film. I like Matt. I rank this on how much fun did I have.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to watch this one again. It was bizarre. It was trippy. Tim Heidecker is absolutely hilarious in this film. Marlon Wayans and Tyreek Withers were both, I think, exceptional in this. Tyreek Withers probably more than Marlon, but still they were both fantastic. It was really fun, and it kept me guessing, and it was bizarre, and it held my interest, and again, a lot of blood. It was really fun. So did anybody else watch it? Or
I did. I watched it after you talked about it.
Okay.
Not my cup of tea, but I can understand why you like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch it.
It's on my list. To watch. Yeah.
Ah. All right. Catherine, your
number 8.
I have Final Destination Bloodlines.
Higher.
No.
Oh. Not on mine.
Oh, it's higher than mine.
Okay.
Joe's higher.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mark, number 8.
My number 8 is 28 Years Later.
Higher.
Got it.
All right. Lower. And let's see. Lower. My number 8 is Best Wishes to All.
Not on my list.
Not on my list.
Okay. Did you guys see it?
It is. No, it's one I want to watch again. I really liked it, but I felt like maybe I missed something, so I need to go back and watch it.
Yeah, this is I believe Japanese film. Yeah, it's a Japanese film. A young woman's visit to her grandparents' home leads to the discovery of what's brought them happiness, a revelation that will lead her to question her choices, sanity, and reality itself. So this is a very creepy movie. It's very similar to something else we've watched. I don't want to say what that is until you guys get a chance to watch it. It's very similar in some ways to another thing that we've watched, though. I thought it was really well done. I just thought it was just unsettling. The girl's parents are so bizarre, and what they have to do to maintain a semblance of happiness is pretty interesting to me. So this is a one of my favorites of the year so far. So obviously, so that's number 8. So now we're on to number 7. Will Joe get to? Oh yeah, you got to talk about the last one. So
yeah,
has anybody not gotten to talk about one so far? Catherine, I think we keep skipping you, right? Yeah. Okay.
I have a feeling this will be my round.
Okay. Good. Joe, number 7.
Together.
Not on my list.
Not on my list.
Yeah, just missed the cutoff.
Yeah. Huh, it was great. In the mix.
I just rewatched this with my wife 3 days ago, 2 days ago, something like that. It's creepy as all get out. I think it's a fantastic film. It's was it Dave Franco and Alison Brie are really the main characters, practically almost the only characters in this entire film. I was glad that I rewatched it the second time. There were some little hidden secrets that I didn't pick up on the first time that I'm so glad that I caught the second time, because it made a lot more sense. They do a great job not really explaining the entity that's the cause of all of their problems, but the body horror is just beautiful to watch. Just put it like that. So I really enjoyed this. Actually, my wife did too. So
yeah, that was a great movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 7 for Catherine. Or no. Yes. Catherine.
This is where I have 28 Years Later.
Anybody have it lower?
It's everybody now, right?
Everyone have it. No one has it higher, right?
I don't have it higher.
No. No.
No.
I mean, I don't have it.
Let's talk about it. Mine was number 8.
Yeah. So I like this one a lot. Like I enjoyed the very first 28 Days Later. I thought that one was great. The other two in that trilogy, I thought really fine. So I went into this one with no expectations and I really loved it. I thought the story was just beautiful. And what, you know, the drama surrounding this boy and, you know, trying to become a man and going on to the mainland, like just everything about it was so compelling. I know it wasn't super gore heavy. Even the horror wasn't, it was more about the story, but I've really found it compelling and beautiful. And so that's why that made it to number 7 on my list.
Yeah, I agree. It's about the story. I love that Ralph Fiennes is in it and it and the build up of the very ending of the film, and what we saw of the Power Rangers, what was happening. I mean, I understood, you know, what it was about, you know, and why Danny Boyle directed it, you know, that way. It was because it's what they thought in their mind of how they looked fighting these, you know, these zombies. And I just loved it. Everyone lost their minds going to how stupid it was. And it wasn't stupid. It was great. And it makes me really excited about the Bone Temple coming out really soon. And from what I've heard and the reactions, they released this and showed it to people like a month or like a month and a half before it was even released. That's how confident they are in this movie coming out. So, 28 years later, I thought it was really, really amazing. I love the whole fact of this, like the clothes and like how they were still using, you know, what they could after 28 years. And it's just a whole, you know, part of it. That film was great.
What time and isolation has done to these people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it's a great film. Great film.
I think all the people that had an issue with the ending are going to be eating a lot of crow when the next movie comes out.
Oh yeah.
I still haven't had a chance to see it. So,
give it a whirl.
All right. Mark, you are number seven.
I got Welcome to Derry. Anybody have it lower?
Nope.
I have it lower. I don't have it higher.
What does that mean?
It means you could talk about
it. Oh, you could talk
about it. Nobody has it higher than you.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Got it. Okay. Welcome to Derry, the HBO series, you know, for It. I thoroughly enjoyed it because they killed the kids and didn't hold back like Stranger Things. I know Stranger Things isn't made to be that way, but I love the fact that you don't know who's going to survive in this. And it was just an absolute blast. There's so many scary elements in it. The special effects were great. Pennywise was absolutely, I think, more scary than the original films in the TV series. So, yeah, it's fantastic. I loved it.
It was my reason to make sure I had no other plans on a Sunday night. You know, it's not very often that you get that serial type show that you're like, oh, I gotta base my schedule around this because I can't miss this, which is stupid because it's streaming. You know, you could watch it, you know, at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, who cares? But I every week I'm like, all right, I gotta be there at 8 o'clock. I gotta watch this because I can't wait to see what happens next. And they did a wonderful job of rolling out this story in a fashion that you kept on the edge of your seat at the end of every episode, couldn't wait for the next one to come out, and how they didn't overuse Pennywise.
Yeah.
You know, they did a wonderful job of developing the story and the relationship with the kids and their environment and the adults that were around. I really kind of curious. I know they're going to do this in 27 year increments or 23, whatever it is. But I kind of want to see more like 3 years or 2 years from this one. With like what happened to the military, how is their presence just vanished between now and It Chapter One?
So that makes sense. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
I really enjoyed it. So that's why I made my list.
By the way, one of the best openings for a TV show in a long time, that song. Yeah. I'm just every time it was going, I'm just bouncing up and down like to the song. Just like, this is great.
I had to watch it.
I'm having a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no Mark's boner, but it was still very catchy.
It's true. This is true. All right. So my number seven. Companion.
Nope.
This is one I saw earlier in the year, and it's been sitting in my top 10 list and around the bottom, you know, the back five of my top 10 list ever since. And probably was early, it was probably higher up earlier, but it was one that I just really loved. I loved the way it was set up. I loved the whole, you know, there was more going on than what you're expecting I wouldn't say there's a twist in it, but it goes in directions you're not really thinking it's going to go. And so I thought it was great. I thought, of course, Sophie Thatcher is again fantastic. She's terrific. So, but I had a great time with this one too. It was a lot of fun. and but also had something to say, and also, you know, was pretty violent. You know, it's some nice violence for what it is, you know. And Jack Quaid, seeing Jack Quaid play kind of just a creeper asshole kind of thing, it was kind of refreshing as well. So that was my number seven. So now we are on to number six. So, Joe, what do you got for us at number six?
Another TV series, Alien Earth.
Hmm. Nice.
No one?
Nope.
Wow. I've been a huge fan of the first handful of original, like, Alien movies, but this came on TV in a time where there was, you know, we were still waiting for it, Welcome to Derry, to come out. And this was what, like, middle of summer, I think. And again, yeah, it was the same sort of thing where I start every Wednesday night. I got to be in front of my TV. I got to watch this, because I was constantly impressed with the acting, the actors, and most importantly, the special effects. I mean, the sheep with the eyeball thing still is one of the creepiest things I've seen this year.
Yeah.
The character design of these aliens and these creatures were just tremendous. Mm-hmm. And I like the whole, you know, Lost Boys spin thing on there. It was, it's something I, you know, I think I heard, aren't they, they're redoing this, or they're continuing this for season two?
There hasn't been a word. Greenlit?
I don't know if they've announced that yet or not.
I really hope they do. I think they knocked it out of the park. This was tremendous. This is why I like horror films. So that to me was tremendous sci-fi horror.
Yeah. I loved it too. It's great. I'm looking it up right now. I don't think they've, let's see. Oh, yeah, it has been renewed for a second season. Nice. Filming is beginning in 2026 and likely won't land until
2027
or whatever. Yeah. 2027 is what they're looking at. So, yeah, I love that. It's a great show. Really good show. So, yeah. I enjoyed it a lot. The toxic fanboys online hate it, but I usually like everything they don't like. So,
what are they know?
What's there to hate?
I know. Okay. So, number six for, was that your number six, Joe?
Yes.
Yeah. Number six for Catherine.
I have Frankenstein.
Higher.
All right. And number six for Mark.
This is where I have Dead Talent Society.
Same here. Yeah. It's number six.
At six?
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic.
Just a fun, unique spin on the ghost story. Something I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got everything. It's got humor. It's got some nice serious moments. It's got some great gore in there.
Yeah. It's got, like, most of the time they can't get the horror right, or they don't get the comedy right. But this kind of did both well. And so I loved it too. It was, Michelle and I, while we were watching it, we were just laughing, and I just had like an excited feeling for this. Like you found something really fresh and new, and it was just a blast. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. So much fun. It was so much fun. It's a feel good horror movie. Like, you feel good at the end. You're rooting for her. You're like, get her, when she's like, right, just with her arms out. And it felt like a John Hughes film almost in a way.
It was great.
Yeah.
I had a great time. I liked the agent. That guy cracked me up. Just everything was so good in that.
Good characters in that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, that brings us then to number five for Joe. Six? Yeah, that was my number six as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So number five for Joe.
Sinners.
No, I
have it higher.
Okay.
All right. So now Catherine, number five.
I have The Monkey.
Ooh.
Not on my list.
not on my list, but I see where you're coming from.
This one was just so much fun. It's been a great year for Stephen King. Between that and the Derry series and Running Man and The Long Walk, and just, it's been so many good options this year. But this one I saw, it came out in February or March, because I remember it was around my birthday. And I went into it, didn't have any expectations again, but it was just so much fun. Very much in the vein of a Final Destination type movie. But it was just, you know, just so enjoyable to watch. Lots of fun gore, and, you know, you don't quite know where, you know, those Rube Goldberg things are going to go. And it was just, it's just a great time at the movies.
Yeah, that was a fun movie.
All right. So, Mark.
Yes.
Number six.
Number five.
No. Oh, yeah. Number five. Sorry.
Yeah, five.
Number five.
Matt made another boner. Okay. The next one, or number five, is I have Frankenstein at number five. So I was pretty much right around you, Catherine. Yours was number six, right?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful film. It's beautiful. It's the costumes, like the blue dress was X-rays, and, you know, it was like an X-ray dress, and just the acting and just Christopher Waltz was in it. My God, I didn't even know he was in it. And
everybody in this did a fantastic job.
Yeah. And it's just beautifully directed. I know Matt didn't like the first part as much as the second part, but I thought the pacing was great. I know Joe had a problem with, you know, him pushing the ship, and I looked past that. I just thought it was a beautiful, beautiful movie.
Yeah, it was really good. It was and Guillermo del Toro always does fantastic.
Yeah, it's
a great talented director. So,
yeah, it's my favorite Frankenstein version.
It might be, yeah, it's so good.
I think it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, love it.
All right. So then that brings me to my number five. The Ugly Stepsister.
I love that you love this film, Matt. I love it.
Yeah, I loved this
It
movie.
Almost made my top 10.
Yeah.
It was like right on the cusp.
I was like, God, it just wasn't scary enough. It was just the body horror was great. I'm like, no, I'm screaming. But go ahead, it's your pick.
I mean, it was another fun one. Most of these were fun. I mean, Best Wishes to All is pretty dark, but it's kind of fun. So I don't know. This is kind of my fun year up until now. I think everything from here on up isn't as much fun on mine. Or, well, that's not true. A couple of them are kind of. But these were more – the rest of these – Black Phone 2 I don't think was a comedy. But at any rate, the Ugly Stepsister was terrific. And I thought the main girl who – what's her name? The one who plays the – Yeah, Leah Marin, she plays Elvira.
Yeah.
She was great and somehow had a way of looking. I don't know if I'd say she was ugly before all of the work was done, but and before they made her up and all of that. But, you know, she made herself look awkward and ugly. And then she's, you know, kind of beautiful. But it's the beauty starts to like rot her from the inside, you know, and
the tapeworm.
And then literally is the Cinderella story, and such a great ending. I thought the ending was just fantastic. Yeah. So this was great. This was, I think Joe had talked about it a long time ago, and I just never got around to watching it. And then this last week, Michelle and I decided we were trying to hit as many as we could. And this one really, we enjoyed it quite a lot. So
yeah,
The Ugly Stepsister is my number five. All right. We're in the back half now. Number four. Joe, what do you got for us in number four?
I'm going to go on a tangent, if you'll allow me for a second, because I'm going to. This is my number four with protest. So I watched Begonia now twice so far in the matter of like 2 weeks. Begonia is so much more of a horror film than the one that's on my number four. And I think somebody's asleep at the wheel at IMDb. This Begonia should have been tagged as horror film. But anyway, I digest. My number four is The Long Walk.
Higher.
Yeah. Okay. It's my number four.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, Catherine
said it.
Oh, you have it higher. Okay, sorry.
Matt did a boner.
I did do a boner. All right, Catherine. You know what? Sometime we should actually have Mark do this and just see what shit happens.
Absolutely,
we should have him
not
lead this and keep track of who goes next and everything else. That would be beautiful.
You know, I got a marching snare upstairs. If Mark does the narration, I will do the live drum rolls for you,
or make Mark do the drum rolls too.
Okay, I actually have a snare too.
Oh, you do? Oh, that's funny. All right, Catherine, go ahead. What's your number four?
My number four is weapons.
Higher.
I figured.
Yeah. All right. So, Mark, you are next with your number four pick.
It's The Long Walk. Did anybody have it higher?
Yeah, I've got it higher.
Okay. I love that, though, Catherine. I love that you had that higher.
All right. My number four, Bring Her Back.
Higher.
Whoa. I had that at 9. Ooh, you guys really liked it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now we're in the top three. So, Joe, what's your number three?
Final Destination Bloodlines.
Oh,
there you go.
There we go.
Nice.
Okay. I like I'll take it. it's again, like I've said 1,000 times, I watch these based on how much fun they were and also their rewatchability. This came out fairly early, I guess, in the year. I've watched it 3 times. I think it's just fun. I love watching the setup. Obviously, it's more fun, or it's the most fun you could watch it for the first time, because all of the setups are kind of unpredictable, some of them, others not. But they also deliver on quite a lot of gore and blood. So it's honestly, the movies, I'm sure when they build these things, they're just trying to think of all these different ways that they can show somebody dying on screen. And then the chore, the labor of it is, all right, now how do we wrap a story around it? Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, after the first watch, I don't know that I care so much. I just enjoy watching all those little vignettes come to life. So
yeah,
that's mine.
Yeah. It wasn't anything new. It was, you know, the same formula as all the others, but it's great. It's a great formula. So yeah, it gave me exactly what I wanted.
I just wish the blood would have been more looking like blood instead of CGI. Yeah. But that's just the only nitpick I had. I had a blast watching this film in the theater. I mean, I was smiling. It was fun.
I'm glad the franchise got rejuvenated. Mm-hmm. You know, it was fun before. There's got to be more creative ways to kill people. So
you know,
keep it going.
Yeah, it's fun. It's always fun.
Matt, you're on mute.
Matt, you're having a boner.
Catherine, what is your number three?
My number three is The Long Walk.
That's raising the desk with all those boners.
I know, I sure am.
Anybody have it higher? No?
No.
All right, Catherine, it's all yours.
Wait. What was the pick?
The Long Walk.
The long walk.
So you said I had that at 4.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I have it at 3. So
nice. Yeah.
No, this was great. I read the book or the story years and years and years ago, but this was just so wonderfully brought to life. The characters were so compelling. They did a really great job of making a movie that could just be dull and boring. Just you're just on your edge of the seat the whole time. You know, even if you may kind of know where it's going and what's going to happen, you're still pulling for these guys and hoping that they can all somehow survive. It's just, it's so well done. Again, it's got some good gore in there as well, along with some other bodily functions. But yeah, this was just fantastic. Such a good, you know, relevant story. You know, like it's unfortunately very timely in what it has to say.
It's the best buddy film of the year.
Yeah.
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 So good in this one too. Lots of good acting.
I will say I don't know that I consider this horror, like I said, but right. However, nobody, I don't know of anybody that can write that relationship on screen better than King. Those, you know, this is Red and Andy Dufresne just walking for like 4 days.
Yeah.
It's tremendous. They did an excellent job.
Yeah. David Johnson, who played, Peter, McFries, he deserved a nomination for best supporting actor and he didn't get it. And it pisses me off. Like he just watching him act and just him just talk and the dialogue that he has, I couldn't even keep my eyes off of him. I just thought he was absolutely wonderful. I love, the Hoffman, Cooper Hoffman. I think he's great. It's Garrett. I was on the edge of my seat in the theater watching it. I loved how they changed the ending. Did a little switcheroo on some characters, and I thought it was great. I thought it was well executed all the way through the movie. I just wished it was more, like I said, when I reviewed this film before, I just wished it was more people on the screen, like the sidelines, you know. I just wanted more groups of the people like it was in the short story. And but that's just nitpicking. But it's a great film. Yeah, I'm going to own it.
Whose pick was that?
Catherine's.
That was my number three.
Okay, all right. So, Mark, you're number three.
I got Sinners.
I have that higher.
I have it at three, but yeah. All right.
All right.
And so, yeah, my number three then is.
You didn't have to do the drum roll.
Is God. Sinners. So, yeah.
You got to do it 40 times.
We'll have to wait until one of the next episodes or next rounds, I guess. And so, Joe, that brings us to number two. What you got?
Bring Her Back.
That was my number two as well.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Go for it, Joe.
The teeth.
God damn it.
Right?
There's nothing that gives me the heebie-jeebies more than that kid's mouth eating wood. You're like chewing on a... Oh, just... That alone, if it's going to evoke that much of an emotional response for me, I'm like squirming in my chair. I've seen this film, I think, three times since it came out. Yeah. And I'm glutton for punishment. I need to watch that kid do that over and over again until just completely desensitized for it. Oh, it's just bravo to them, I say, you know.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. A really good follow-up to their Talk to Me. Like, again, just a movie I went into knowing nothing about it. And I think that's the way to go for most things. The less you know, the better.
I agree. It's
one of those. Yeah, it's just you didn't know where it was going to go, what it was going to be. And it was awesome. It had me, never a dull moment. Just kept going the whole time. It was really, really well done.
Yeah, it's a beautifully crafted film. The teeth scene is absolutely insane. It's not fun at all to watch, and you squirm. You just squirm, and I put my foot in front of the TV. That's when I know it's bad. It's when I'm laying on the couch and my foot is blocking the TV, and I'm just like, stop.
Yeah,
and that's what happened. That's good horror. Mm-hmm. That's good horror right there. When you get reactions like that. I mean, it deserves to be in your top 10 for sure.
That's true. And it's such a, like a dark, just, bleak kind of film, but still, not to the point where you're just like, I need to, freshen up after this or whatever. It was still just so great. Yeah, loved it.
Yeah.
And that was my number four. So that was your guys' two.
Yeah. And
Mark's
mine was
number nine.
Number nine.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then, Mark, what is your number two?
Isn't it Catherine?
Yeah. That was her number two.
Catherine's turn. Yes.
Joe and I both had it at number two.
They both had it at two.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. So we're on two for me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Number two.
Now it's 41.
Yeah.
Now it's 41 rolls.
Get her money's worth.
Number two is Good Boy.
Yeah, that's my number two as well.
Oh, wow.
Matt, you and I, we're on the same wavelength.
We're synced. And that's why I'm making all these goddamn mistakes today.
All these boners. It's all the boners. The same boners. Yeah. Yep.
You're sharing the same boner. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, God damn it, Joe. Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Or Mark. Or, you know, talk about that Good Boy.
Yeah.
It's original. It's I've never seen it before of a POV kind of version of the dog, and the dog's great. And I don't know how they did all those beautiful shots of reactions of the dog, but those reactions were perfect for that scene and for that shot. And you fell in love with the dog, and you're like, damn it, if this dog even gets a hair, you know, harmed, I got really upset. I watched it again. I've watched it three times now. Oh, and it's great. And yeah, it's really moving. I think it's kind of got a little found footage kind of feel to it in a way. I mean, it's but it does feel that way sometimes.
It's a different POV. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, just all the way through it, I thought it was great. I thought just, you know, the demon, the possession, it was just great. I mean, when the dog's just in the doghouse, literally outside, that was terrifying. That was terrifying. I hated it. And it just really moved me. Just I loved everything about that film. Yeah. It absolute number two deserving.
It was just brilliant because, you know, so we watch so many horror movies where people are in danger that sometimes the stakes, it's really hard to make those stakes higher. But when it's a dog, you're just terrified for the dog, and you're feeling for the dog. And so it really makes it even more like, I do not let anything happen to this dog, you know? And so you really are way more invested. And then also, just seeing everything through the point of view of the dog, like you said, Mark, is such a great point of view, and it's unlike anything you've ever seen. But at the same time, it feels like it's something we should have seen all along. Like, this should have been something somebody did before. Like, I can't believe it's never been done before, as far as I know. And so great. And it would have been easy to just have that be a gimmick and just do a basic horror haunted house tale with a dog from its point of view, but it actually was really an interesting story too. And the fact that the human you really don't see very much, and everything, you know, is you
hardly ever saw his face.
Yeah, you barely see the guy's face, and there's just so many just scenes like that and just the darkness, the whatever entity is in that house haunting them and possessing the guy or whatever is a really dark figure. It's not just a ghost. This is one of the more one of the darker like villains in horror of recent memory for me anyway. So I love
it. And at the end, when something's whispering to the dog, come here, come here. Yeah. It's like, don't you,
right?
Don't you do it? Don't just go.
Yeah,
this it's a great film. Yeah.
Catherine, what did you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, same thing. Like, it's such an original idea, and that's why it made my top 10, because it was something like you said, no one's done this before, and the dog is just so good. You just really feel for him. You worry about him. You care about him. And he's so emotive too. You know, he's not speaking. Right. Everything's through his body language and his eyes. And it's just, breaks your heart. So yeah, really well done. Really great idea. Well executed.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, was it in your top 10? No. Good Boy?
No, it was in my top 20.
All right. So now that brings us to our number one movie of the year. So, Joe, what is your number one?
Weapons.
Higher.
It's number one for me, too.
It was my number four.
And Mark, is it your number one as well?
It's, yeah. If I could be higher, I'd make it higher.
Okay, Joe, go ahead.
Again, like what Catherine said, I went into this without knowing a thing, and that is the best advice I can give any film goer. Just take a chance, throw the money at the box office, and walk in and enjoy yourself, because that's exactly what I did, and it is an enjoyable train wreck to hell. It's tremendous. The special effects, the blood in this thing, the action, the storyline, how it unfolds. You don't know who's at fault. You don't know who you can trust. And the ending is just absolutely glorious. The kids are tremendous. They're savages. I honestly would have liked to have seen more of that ending scene spill out. Like, I realized the kids sort of resolved months later, I think they said, or within the year.
Some did.
But what happened to the kids afterwards? It would have been nice to see them like go on a tirade throughout the town, you know, and get one of them too.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was, Julia Gardner was great. Josh Brolin was great. You know,
I
love this film. I own this film along with God, several others on this list.
Yeah. I knew it was by the director of Barbarian. I like Barbarian, so that's kind of all I needed. I was like, all right, let's do this. This will be fun, if nothing else. And went in knowing no more than that, and it was awesome. Again, a really nice original story that was well told. It was, it kept you guessing the whole time, and it was a lot of fun.
I
adore this film. Saw it in a movie theater. Didn't know. I saw the trailer, but that's all I knew. They didn't really reveal much anyways. But I'll tell you one thing. The next time this guy directs a film and I know about it, I'm not even going to watch the trailer. I'm just going to go as blind as possible, because that's what you have to do with this guy. This guy's two for two with Barbarian, because I love fucking Barbarian. I love it. And the fact that he comes out with Weapons is... He's the best right now for me. He's my favorite director, as when it comes to horror movies right now. He's great. He's wonderful. Best supporting actress, actress who played Gladie. She just won for Gladie for the Critics' Choice Award. Like, keep the train rolling. Come on. Let's give her an Oscar, because she's great in it. She's fantastic. I love that character.
Mark, you are going to have some difficulty not watching the trailer for his next film, because he's already doing Resident Evil.
No, he's not.
Yeah. In 2026.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I'm so excited. That's going to be amazing.
This is a great movie. This would probably, be vying for number one in a lot of years. So it's just terrific. And there were just some really creepy moments. I loved how all the stories tie together, too. Just they show one point of view and the next point of view. But there was a moment.
It's almost like Pulp Fiction.
It is.
Yeah. Kind of like that. Yeah. And you don't know quite what's happening. Why is the principal running after her and all that stuff, you know? But then there was a moment where the main character is in the car, and this woman, she falls asleep, and this woman comes out of the house and is toward the car, and just this weird kind of flailing thing. I got the goosebumps.
Scene. Yeah.
Yeah. I got the goosebumps from that. It was so creepy.
Opening in the back, but you don't see what's happening, which makes it even better.
Yeah. It's just a really creepy movie. And then, the ending is terrific. Absolutely terrific. So, Okay, so that brings us, I think, Catherine, this is your number one, which is probably going to be the movie that the rest of us have.
My number one was Sinners.
Yeah, there we go. Go ahead. Tell us about it.
Again, the reason it's number one was, again, just another original story. But I love the fact that it was rooted in, you know, this, what is it, 1920s historical, you know, kind of had a historical feel to it with the jazz, and just the music was so good. I love Michael B. Jordan playing the dual roles of Smoke and Stack. It was just, everything about this was just beautiful. The costumes were beautiful. The directing was great. The acting was great. Again, the music was fantastic. And then, you know, all of a sudden there's vampires. Like, it could have just been a fascinating movie on its own. You didn't even need that, but there it was, and it was awesome. So I loved everything about this movie. I thought it was a really strong contender. It's kind of number one from the moment I saw it, and nothing else really quite knocked it down for me. So just kind of stayed there, and yeah, fantastic, fantastic movie this year.
No, it is a fantastic film. The only reason why I had it at three and not at two was because it was like the story was great, and all of a sudden it was vampires, and it just reminded me too much of Dusk Till Dawn. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, this is Dusk Till Dawn. And I'm like, okay. And that's good and fine. But there's that one hell of a shot, and I believe Matt talked about it too, is that music montage in the club was absolutely brilliantly shot. And for that, that's why it got to three and not four or five or whatever. It is a great film, and it is completely rewatchable. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's so good. That club gave me goosebumps too. And that gave me, you know, it was like breathtaking, that club scene, all of those ghosts coming around. And then I loved the vampire part at the end. I loved the song back and forth between them and then the vampire crew doing their kind of Irish song, and it kind of fusing together. I just thought this was fantastic. I didn't love the ending, but it was fine. I didn't have a problem with it. But it was, and I love the way it was shot. It was all shot on film and everything. And it was just, I thought, just so well made, so beautiful to look at. Joe. Yeah,
I agree. Cinematographically, it was beautiful. It was shot tremendously well. Overall, the entire project was just nothing but ambitious, from the cinematography to the acting. And the soundtrack was tremendous too, you know. But you know, it's important that they have vampires in there, because if there were no vampires, chances are we wouldn't have watched it.
Yeah,
right. Certainly wouldn't be reviewing it.
Yeah. It would not be on my top 10 horror movies.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, well, that is it for our top 10 lists for 2025. So. Joe did come up with a fantastic idea where we would do our lists from the last 5 years of CineScare. And I don't know, Joe, did you want us to put them in order?
Yeah, I did. So basically it's I was thinking of looking back at 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. If I had to rank those top 10 lists, and I did it under the guise of, let's say I could only pick one of my top 10 lists, and those would be the movies that I would take with me onto a deserted island.
Yeah.
So just thinking of it that way, whatever year you pick as your number one, that's what you're going to be stuck with on a deserted island. So
Ed, start us off.
Yeah, so I'm just going to read all of mine, and then I'll tell you what movies were in my number one year to sort of justify why I picked that one. So my number six was 2020. Number five, 2021. My number four was 2025. My number three was 2024. My number two was 2022. And the 10 movies that I would take on a desert island with me would be my number or my year of 2023, which was Knock at the Cabin Door, Cobweb, Saw X, Thanksgiving, Godzilla Minus One, Leave the World Behind, No One Will Save You, When Evil Lurks, Talk to Me, and of course, Evil Dead Rise.
Mm. Yeah.
And I got to say, it was difficult to choose between 23 and 2022, only because 2022 had Mad God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's yeah, right.
That's your Terrifier. Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great. So,
yeah.
Catherine.
Yeah. So, not too far off from you, Joe. My number six was 2021, five was 2020. Four was 2025. Number three was 2023. Two was 2024. And my number one was 2022. And the top 10 list I had for that year was Studio 666, X, Fall, The Menu, Barbarian, They, Them, Pearl, Prey, Mr. Harrigan's Phone, and The Black Phone.
They, Them was so fun.
Yeah. Mark, what is your, this is where,
are you doing your homework right before class?
Yeah,
This wasn't in the video. This is not what was explained in the video.
The first video, but then I corrected it because Joe said, no, I watched the first one
and then I watched the one on the CineScare fan page, and that's not what was on the video.
It is.
It's not.
Well, Catherine, what did you do? Figured it out.
Yeah, and yeah.
Well, I didn't. Was this through the text chat?
No, it was in the video.
It was also in the video.
No, it was in the video.
Well, you know the video right, exists, so you can always go and look at it after we're done. And
see. All right. Well, so this is what I did. This is what I thought. You guys met, all right? I thought I was pick your top five from all your top tens, you know.
Oh, no.
That's what I thought it was. All right, so this is what I did.
It was at first, and then Joe and I talked on the chat, and I said, okay, I'm going to fix the video, and I did.
Go ahead, read your list, Mark.
All right, so this is my list. All right, go ahead. My top five is number five is Infinity Pool. Number four is X. Number three is Evil Dead Rise. Number two is a Barbarian. And number one is In a Violent Nature.
Yeah, that's great. They're completely wrong, but that's a great list.
What do you mean wrong? Like just my opinion or just because I did it wrong?
No, just because you didn't understand the assignment.
Did you have In a Violent Nature as your number one movie that year?
Yes.
Huh. All right. So I did it correctly. So number six was 2021. Number five was 2025. Number four was 2020. Number three was 2023. Number two was 2022. This was tough between 22 and 24, but 2024 was my favorite list. It was really a toss up between the two of them, but there were some movies that I just absolutely loved that year, and 2022 had some that a couple that I wouldn't have liked to watch more than I did. But anyway, so 2024, I had The First Omen, Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Suicidal Person, Mads, Long Legs, In a Violent Nature, Oddity, Stop Motion, Nosferatu, The Substance, and Red Rooms. So, and all of these are movies that I just really loved. So,
wait a minute. You didn't have Heretic on that list? Or
no, it was my 11. No.
Oh, okay.
Heretic and Coffee Table were my number one and two.
Man, yeah. Heretic,
Heretic
is awesome.
I think was my number 11, and the Coffee Table was 20 or 32, I think. for, yeah, it was wow. like my number 32. I didn't like that one that much, but
speaking of which, are we going to, did anybody go beyond your top 10 of 2025? It wasn't an assignment, Mark.
Oh yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It was.
I had Heart Eyes at number 11. Thanks to Catherine for that one. And The Ugly Stepsister was number 12.
Did you, Joe?
Catherine, did you do any more than 10?
Oh, Catherine?
No, I only did 10.
Okay.
Okay.
My 11 was Bone Lake. My 12 was Black Phone 2. My 13 was Good Boy. 14 was Companion. 15, The Monkey. 16, Frankenstein. 17, Clown of the Cornfield. 18, Marshmallow. 19, Dangerous Animals. And 20, Fear Street Prom Queen.
My 11 was The Rule of Jenny Penn. 12 was Friwaka. 13 was The Dead Thing. 14 was Together. 15 was Presence. 16 was Jimmy and Stiggs. 17 was Frankenstein. 18 was The Long Walk. 19 was Night of the Reaper. And 20 was VHS Halloween.
Nice.
Night of the Reaper was good. That's a good one.
Yeah, I liked Night of the Reaper. Yeah.
So. Oh, and I did extra homework. I picked the worst movie in 5 years for CineScare, and that is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre that was on Netflix. That's the worst film ever.
Yeah, that would Joe and I would overrule you on that one.
Probably.
It's the worst ever. Mm-hmm.
Certainly not the worst. You consider Zombex worse than or better than that movie? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretentious. It's fucking pretentious.
I would take that movie over Fat Man any day of the week.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
At least Texas
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that. I'll take the.
Or over Lawnmower Man.
Well, this
Lawnmower Man's a cult classic. Come on, you can't diss that one.
Mark made a boner.
That's more meaningful because she's British.
It's kind of cute. Yeah.
It is more meaningful because she's British. That's very good. Yeah. all right. So I guess that's it for this time. Go to www.cinescarehorror.com.
We got to announce
next Oh, yeah, my pick for next time. Oh, God damn it, Mark. I am in sync with him. What Matt's the hell's going boners. On this time?
You're in sync, baby. Bop, 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 bye, bye.
God damn it.
Bye, bye.
Oh, Jesus. All right, well, our next pick
bye-bye.
Is a little J horror. We're going to do some Japanese horror. So I got three Love movies that are bound to make you... happy that we're watching Japanese horror. The first one is Tokyo Gore Police from 2008.
Oh.
It is on Shudder.
Don't know that one. Joe does.
Have you seen it, Joe?
Tokyo what?
Tokyo
I haven't,
Gore
but
Police.
It's been on this list. Like I've been trying to compile a list of movies around watching that one.
Yeah.
So now I don't have to.
So, yeah. No, you don't have to.
What is it called?
Tokyo Gore Police.
Emphasis on gore.
Gore
Police.
It's on Shudder. Next. From 2011. This one is for, I think it is for rent. Yeah, it is for rent, and it is called Kotoko. 2011. Kotoko, K-O-T-O-K-O.
And can you use it in a sentence, please?
The movie we're going to watch is Kotoko.
Thank you.
Definition, and last but not least, from 1977, we're going to watch House.
Oh, no.
From 1977, directed by...
You know, no.
Nobuhiko Obayashi.
It's so weird.
I have not seen this one, but I've heard that it is a gonzo kind of thing.
Oh, you're in for a treat. Yeah.
I haven't seen it either.
So yeah.
Weird. It's gonzo and Miss Piggy.
So those are the ones we're going to watch. I think Kyokyo Gore Police and House would be a lot of fun. And Kotoko, from what I understand, is fairly disturbing. So a little bit of everything, a little something for everyone. So,
cool.
All right. In that case, go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. Buy those shirts that Joe designs because they are something else. And go to our YouTube channel and watch On Halloween Night, which is available, or The Foot of the Bed. So, and also join out, if you haven't yet, join our fan group on Facebook. It's a fun place to be, and we need more people. So,
all the kids hang out there.
All the kids say, all the cool kids do anyway. So,
oh yeah, shout out to Mr. Sweet, right? The guy who got one of our Cinescare shirts, workout in the workout room. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. See, everybody's wearing these things at the gym. You know, everyone's trying to go to back the gym and get fit. Beginning of the year, what more could you need other than a Cinescare shirt?
He said it was really breathable or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That's great. Of course it is. We only use soft, you know, natural cotton fabrics. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Joe goes out and farms the cotton himself.
I personally test every shirt before we put it in the mail.
Yep, he does.
Yeah, I try all in one.
He puts it on his face. Test it.
Oh, is it soft enough for Joe's skin?
Is it soft for his cheek?
All right.
And on that,
I guess that's it for this time. So we'll see you next time.
It always seems to get sexual with Joe at the end now.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming. We'll get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. With the opening in the back, just, and you hear, but you don't see what's happening, which makes it even better. It always seems to get sexual with Joe at the end now.